carpet on the ceiling, and then glanced at her daughter-in-law, her eyes narrowing. Dom watched them interestedly, too much so, for Joan sensed him and folded her napkin deliberately. She stood up. "It is time," she said, "for our evening devotions. Dom, I will see you in my office in 1 hour's time, and we will talk." Chapter 4. Dom entered. His grandmother glanced up and nodded towards a chair. The air was musty with incense. The large, white-painted room was completely empty except for the small desk and 2 chairs, and the little standard thurible and altar in 1 corner, although Joan had a way of filling up empty spaces with her presence. In foot-high letters along the facing wall, the ubiquitous One Commandment glared down on them. Joan closed her account book and began to play with a white-hilted knife. "In a few days, it'll be Soul Cake Friday, and also the Eve of Small Gods," she said. "Have you given much thought to joining a clatch?" "Not much," said Dom, who hadn't thought at all about his religious future. "Scares you, eh?" "Since you put it like that, yes," said Dom. "It's a rather final choice. Sometimes I'm not sure Saddamism has all the answers, you see."
"You're right, of course. But it does ask the right questions."
She paused for an instant, as if listening to a voice that Dom could not hear. "Is it necessary?" prompted Dom.
"The clatch? No. But a bit of ritual never did anyone any harm, and of course it is expected of you."
"There is one thing I'd like to get clear," said Dom.
"Go ahead."
"Grandmother, why are you so nervous?" She laid down the knife and sighed.
"There are times, Dom, when you raise in me the overwhelming desire to bust you one in the snoot." "Of course I'm nervous. What do you expect?"
She sat back.
"Well, shall I explain, or will you ask questions?"
"I'd like to know the story. I think I've got some kind of right. A lot's been happening to me lately, and I kind of get the impression that everyone knows all about it except me." Joan stood up and walked over to the altar. She hoisted herself onto it and sat, swinging her legs in an oddly girlish way.
"Your father, my son, was one of the 2 best probability mathematicians the galaxy has ever seen. You have found out about probability maths, I gather. It's been around for about 500 years. John refined it. He postulated the pothole effect. And when that was proved, P-math went from a toy to a tool. We could take a minute section of the continuum, a human being, for example, and predict its future in this universe. John did this for you. You were the first person ever quantified in this way. It took him 7 months, and how we wish we knew how he managed it, because even the bank can't quantify a person in less than a year with any degree of accuracy. Your father had genius, at least when it came to P-math. He wasn't quite so good at human relationships, though."
She shot an interrogative glance at Dom, but he did not rise to the bait. But she went on,
"He was killed in the marshes, you know."
"I know." John Sabalos looked out over the sparkling marshes towards the distant tower. It was a fine day. He surveyed his emotions analytically and realized he felt content. He smiled to himself and drew another memory cube towards him and slotted it in the recorder. "And therefore," he said, "I will make this final prediction concerning my future son. He will die on his half-year birthday, as the long year is measured on Widdershins, which will be the day he is invested as planetary chairman. The means, some form of energy discharge." He switched off for a few seconds while he collected his thoughts and then began. "The assassin, I cannot tell. Don't think I haven't tried to find out. All I can see is a gap in the flow of the equations. A gap may be in the shape of a man. If so, he is a man around whom the continuum flows like water around a rock. I know that he will escape. I can sense him outlined by your actions like, damn another simile, a vacuum made of shadow. I think he works for the Joker Institute, and they are making a desperate attempt to kill my son." He paused and glanced down at his equation. It was polished, perfect, like a slab of agate. It had an intrinsic beauty. The distant glint of the tower drew his gaze again. He glanced up. Not the right time. Not yet. Another hour. And now, Dom, as you stand there, torn between